Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. On February the 23rd, Germans go to the polls in a parliamentary election that is crucial not just for Europe's largest economy, but for the EU as a whole. The outcome could have an impact on how Europe handles US President Donald Trump, on how it supports Ukraine, how it pursues its key goals on industrial policy and competitiveness. My guest today is an important player in the CSU, the German Christian Social Union, and he's the leader of the largest political group here in the European Parliament. Manfred Weber has held the presidency of the Conservative European People's Party since 2022, and he recently announced his candidacy for a second term. Welcome back to the programme.
Thank you for the invitation.
So if we look at the polls in this election, the CDU is ahead quite clearly, but again, it looks like nobody's actually going to win outright. So are we looking at another messy coalition, perhaps, and perhaps more disconnect between voters and the political class?
Well, the starting point is that the current government, the traffic light coalition, failed. You know, we are going in Germany to elections even before the regular date to do so, half a year earlier. That gives you a clear indication that Olaf Scholz and the current government couldn't make it anymore. There was not enough common understanding anymore to lead Germany and also give him an idea for the future of Europe. That's a starting point, and I think a lot of Germans voters already made their, let me say, final assessment about this traffic light coalition. There is not so much hope. And now, centre-right, CDU-CSU, the European People's Party in Germany, has to show leadership. That's up to Friedrich Merz to show this. We are in the polls currently quite strong, and we try to convince.
Yeah. A lot of people have wondered whether if the CDU-CSU does come out with a strong result, and if there's if the new government were to approach you to join a national government in Germany, whether you would be interested in that, or are you very much focused on here, or would you consider a return to national politics?
It's not at all about me. I'm leader of the EPP in Europe, and that's a great responsibility, a great job. I want to continue as president in Valencia, our party congress in April. EPP is in the best moment ever because we are leading in a lot of countries European-wide. We have the largest political group in the European Parliament, the European People's Party. Thanks to the support of voters, we can lead Europe with Ursula von der Leyen, with Roberta Metsola. So that's why that's guaranteed. But for the German perspective, you know, just for the audience to know, there is in a lot of important issue also a common sense in Europe and Germany. When it is about the question to be pro-Europe, there is no debate about this among the democratic parties. So there, people can be sure that the German government of the future will be a strong pillar for a pro-European development and also pro-Ukraine. It's also important there is a consensus inside of the center, of the democratic center, and a majority of voters support our approach to be behind Ukraine. But that will not change.
When you say pro-European, I mean, some of your colleagues here in this chamber are concerned about the way Friedrich Merz, the CDU leader, is handling the far-right AfD at the moment, because he did say back in November he won't seek any tacit support from the AfD. Now it seems that in the debates on tougher immigration laws, he is open to breaking this sort of cordon sanitaire around the AfD. Is a taboo around the AfD, is it breaking in Germany?
Well, first of all, you have to know that the AfD was even on European level not anymore accepted by Le Pen, by Orban, to be part of the Patriots. They were kicked out because they are extreme radical. There are a lot of neo-Nazis there. So the AfD is in substance a dangerous party. They are asking that Germany must leave the European Union, must leave the Euro, must leave even the NATO. That is what they are saying. So that's crazy. That's really crazy and not in the interest of Germany at all.
So you don't see any coalition possible, as might happen in Austria, between the conservatives and the far right. You don't see that in Germany.
It's unthinkable in Germany with this AfD. It's unthinkable. So our firewall is clear. And also on European level, we define this pro-Europe, pro-Ukraine, pro-rule of law, our three principles to defend when it is about this kind of coalition, so everybody can be sure. And Friedrich Merz personally said it, as lead candidate, you can believe in me, it will be my promise to you, no cooperation with AfD.
When you see a close associate of Donald Trump, the tech billionaire Elon Musk, intervening directly in rallies of the Alternative for Germany, addressing the rallies or doing a live stream with the leader of the AfD. Is it election interference or is it simply freedom of expression?
Well, even a tech billionaire can have strange political ideas. That's free speech. He can say whatever he wants to say. What is not acceptable is that he's using his communication power, so X as a company, as a communication platform, for supporting AFD. That's not allowed. With our rules in Europe, DSA and DSA, the Digital Service Act, Digital Market Act, we have created some conditions of what is allowed and what is not allowed. And also Musk must respect this. And my message is clear, that the rules for our European communication and digital world are not made in his headquarters, are not made in the White House. They are made in this European Parliament. And we should be firm as Europeans to defend our European way of life also being implemented in the digital world.
On being firm, some have talked about this crisis mechanism that is part of the DSA, that perhaps the German authorities should consider activating that in this election situation. Would you be in favor of that kind of using that tool?
The tool is there. It's up to the authorities to make a check. It must be also legally sound. But look to Romania. We saw already what happened when fake news and propaganda, in this case from Russia, are misusing Facebook and Twitter and the social media operators there. That's why we should be extremely sensible and extremely careful when we see the need to protect our European democracies. Mm-hmm. So that is a warning signal, what happened in Romania. It's a big task to defend our European democracies, even in this modern world.
I'd like to talk a bit about competitiveness and the new competitiveness compass that the EU Commission has just released. For your party, a very important aspect of competitiveness is what happens to the internal combustion engine. You want a different approach to that. But in fact, this issue has already been agreed by the European Parliament. So you want to go back on something that was agreed last February here in the Parliament, right? You want to revise this law that would lead to the ban.
We are ready to do so, yes, that's correct. Yeah. Because European Parliament, European politics must be based on voters' result. You know, last time, the last mandate, the European People's Party voted against forbidding the combustion engine. Mm-hmm. We were a minority. We had not a democratic majority for doing so. Yeah. But now we have a mandate. We have a majority for changing this. And that's why it's based on the will of the citizens of Europe to do so. So EPP, the centre-right, has a majority. And that's why we will implement it. For me, one thing is clear. Mm-hmm. We will not take any distance from the climate goals. I want to be a proud European that we achieve our climate goal, zero neutrality in 2050. That's what we want to achieve. No doubt about this. That's why the majority will be electric cars. Don't get me wrong. But we should do it technologically neutral. So keep it in the hand of engineers, of companies, of consumers to decide about the technology, how to achieve the climate goals.
And again, the EPP wants to revisit some of the legal aspects of the Green Deal from the last mandate. Would that make your coalition more fragile? Because, of course, Renew and the Socialists and Democrats don't want to reopen this whole question, do they?
Well, I see also in my talks with Renew and the Socialists a growing awareness about the need. Look to our car industry. We are losing currently thousands of jobs every day in Europe. Yeah. The supply chain. So the backbone of our European industry is at stake. So we don't speak about tiny, gritty, simple issues. We speak about fundamental issues for competitiveness, for jobs, for a lot of people in Europe. And that's why, please, the priority must be clear that from now on, everything is under the headline of competitiveness. We have to re-strengthen our economy. We lost already a lot of weight inside of the global competition, and we have to win back this competitiveness strength. That is priority number one for EPP.
And if you can't take that agenda forward much with the people that are in your platform agreement, would you work with other groups? Because the head of the ECR, Mateusz Morawiecki, he says you should build ad hoc technical majorities with groups that you don't necessarily like on the hard right or the far right. Are you open to doing that?
Well, some of these statements from the far right are simply crazy. I read the letter, for example, from Bardella, who told us we should get rid of the whole Green Deal. That's bullshit. Sorry, that's stupid.
The head of the French
exactly.
Far right,
that's bullshit. Yeah. We have to be committed to climate change and fight against climate change. That's a historic challenge for our generation to do it. Mm. So that's why we will look for serious partners to fulfill the promises we made to the citizens. But let me speak very clear. The left also must wake up. Huh? They cannot only be in their Brussels bubble in a way. They have to listen what is going on the ground. And again, the economy is under heavy pressure globally, and we have to rescue our European economy. That's priority number one, and people can trust in us. Less bureaucracy, creating single market, doing more on defense, investing in Europe, together, infrastructure. That are the priorities we need in this moment of time, and EPP will focus on this.
You've said that you or the group you represent is willing to offer deal maker Donald Trump a deal. What does that actually mean? Is it buying more American gas to stave off tariffs on German cars? I mean, what is the actual deal, you think?
Well, we need each other, first of all. That's why we want to have a deal. And you said it rightly. So there are options where we can even engage in trade with America. We can buy products from America. There is an option there. But probably the most important offer we can make to Donald Trump is, please, let's join our forces to have a common China policy. Because in Washington, the number one issue, I was in December in Washington last year, and the number one issue is how to answer the global ambitions of China. And there Europe and America has a common interest. Together, we are around 50% of the global GDP, America and Europe. We can still draft and write the agenda for the global development of tomorrow, and we should do so together.
We'll have to end it there. Thank you so much for this discussion, Manfred Weber, head of the president of the Conservative European People's Party since 2022. We will continue to follow, of course, all these issues on France 24 and all our news programs. So do stay with us.